Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Could get in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world. The greatest
handed yards of... Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel. Now that I'm putting on a new hat, we're not doing Talk Back with Attitude. No. It's now Showreel. And we look at the Australian film industry, things that are happening in it, and people who are involved in doing those things. And today I've got live guests, which is fabulous. It's always very exciting. We've got Jim Splitter and we've got Paige Joy Ryans in the studio. And because they're in a thing called Displaced, or in fact, Jem, you're the reason for why Displaced exists at all.
I guess I am. Hello. Yes, thank you.
And hello to you, Paige.
Hi.
Yeah, now, of course, if you were watching Channel 31 last night at 9 o'clock at night, you would have actually seen the first two episodes of Displaced. I had the impression that Displaced was going to be only a web series, but in actual fact it's made its way to the TV as well, because
That's right. Well, it's a bit of a roundabout way of getting there. It was conceived for online, but one of the pathways to funding was one of the producers who was working with us was familiar with Channel 31 and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, and we partnered up with Channel 31 in order to access some funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation, which helped us make the thing.
Yeah.
So right. we got a sort of quite uncommon, the rest of the funding came from Screen Australia and VicScreen from their online funding stream. And it was quite a unique sort of, we had to get everyone to agree. So there was a bit of juggling everybody's expectations and requirements, but we ended up, with this dual release strategy.
Oh, wow, that's really, really interesting, actually, because it's difficult, isn't it, to... people have thought that in order to get your ideas across and the production aired, going online is a new way of making that happen. But it's nice to know that there can be partnerships.
Yeah, well, everybody has to cooperate, which isn't always a given. Especially when you're dealing with government agencies or, not-for-profits, like people have very strict rules. And depending on the interpretation of those rules, it can work or it can't. But in our case, everybody was really cooperative and everybody really believed in the project. And Shane from Channel 31, like, especially was a champion of it and was like, no, we'll find a way to get everyone on side. I just have to sort of shout everybody at all of those agencies out, because everybody was willing to cooperate in order to make the production happen.
So you're the writer.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How many things have you written?
Too many and not enough at the same time. this is my first professionally released production.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I've got a bunch of stuff that I've written that nobody's ever heard of, because
it's like an iceberg. People say, oh, they've just come out of the blue.
That's right. Yeah, an overnight success. I've been working on it for 25 years. I've written on some video games. I've written for radio quite a long time ago. I've written for theatre. Most of it lives on a Google Drive in my computer, but some of it has seen the world. But Displaced is the first sort of professional level release, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Displaced, just for people to get an idea, is about a young woman who invents time travel and throws herself unexpectedly back to her younger self in the year 2000, which is, it's actually quite amusing because even children who are 3 or 4 or 5 start reminiscing about being a baby. Mm. And of course, a 30-year-old reminiscing about being 15, it's a tantalizing concept, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I started writing it when I was 31 or so. I'm 37 now. So I aged up, and the character of Big Sarah, we call them Big Sarah and Little Sarah.
Yeah, okay.
The character of Big Sarah had to age up as I was writing it because I started writing it in 2020, and that was a 20-year age gap. She was 34 going back to meet her 14-year-old self. But I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not 2020 anymore, and it took 5 years to make. So the character had to age up, and that slightly did change the dynamic as well because we wanted the character to be 14, Little Sarah, and we wanted the year to be 2000. We didn't want her to travel 20 years. We didn't want her to travel back to 2005. Who gives a crap about 2005? What a random year. For some reason, it was really important to me that it was the year 2000 for a reason that I can't articulate. So the character dynamic changed a bit, and the age and the nostalgia sort of element changed a little bit, yeah.
You must have had to research because, I mean, I know
I remember the year 2000.
Really well.
Oh, very well.
Were you in Sydney at that time?
No, Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I grew up here, and it's set here. It's we filmed in Essendon. I remember Melbourne in the year 2000s, in the year 2000 very well.
Oh, yeah. Right. So it's interesting because often you think something happened at a particular time, but it turns out to have happened maybe 1 year, one each side of it.
That is true. I did have to research a few things. There was a subplot that I ended up writing out because it, even though it was historically accurate, it felt wrong. I think it was about the PlayStation 2 or something, which had come out in 99, so we could use it, but it felt too modern. I don't know if you're familiar with something called the Tiffany problem.
Tell us about that.
The Tiffany problem is that it's known to anyone who's written fantasy or historical fiction or anything like that. Tiffany is a very, very old name. It was around in the 1300s, maybe even before that. But
which seems weird.
Which seems so weird. Okay. But you can't use it in a fantasy novel because it sounds like a 20-year-old girl who has memories of the year 2000. You can't use the name Tiffany as a princess in a historical novel, so it's called the Tiffany problem. So we had that about the PlayStation. We had that about a few things. But
so it's you're exploring general perception.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to be accurate and also feel accurate. And that came into play with music as well. I didn't write, but we had a musician, composer.
It's actually
Matt
really
Tunkard.
Good, the music. Yeah.
It's fantastic. And he found the sound. He really honed in on that. Honed. On that really specific
H-O-N-E-D.
Era. Yeah, thank you. I was... Yeah.
I'm a words person too. I do it too. Sometimes you say a word because it's of the rhythm, but it turns out to be not correct.
Yeah. Or you've only read it in books and you pronounce it wildly differently to everybody else.
How embarrassing. Yeah. It's so embarrassing, isn't it? Talking about that page, you of course are the youngster on the in the show. Yes. So you must but you've actually made a bit of a splash. I mean, you've got real charisma on screen, I have to say.
Thank you. I like to think I have it in real life too.
Yeah.
I've only just met you. I'll tell you at the end.
Can't you tell?
Yeah. But it would have been quite exciting to get such a lead. And also it's a two-hander.
Yeah. I was so excited, getting the audition and going through that process and then, getting to meet Jem and Molly and eventually Tegan as well. It was so much fun, we had so much fun in the audition room and I felt like everyone sort of just got along and I felt like I really belonged there, especially when I was on set, It was just a lot of fun.
Mm. So yeah. Tell me, how did you start this acting caper?
So I started acting. I've always had a passion for performing. I've always wanted to be the center of attention, as my parents would say.
Are you an only child?
No. I'm the baby of my family. So, So I started acting classes in 2020, I think. So I've been acting for quite a few years. I've done a lot of different techniques. I don't know if you've heard of like the Stanislavski technique. And Meisner as well, which I've been doing sort of end of last year and start of this year as well, to really kind of hone in on my different acting capabilities.
Speaking of in the room charisma, do you mind telling them about the greeting that you did in the audition?
Yes. So I did a chemistry technique in the chemistry read with Tegan. I have gone blank on the name, but it's a Maori greeting, and it's allows you to have chemistry with someone in a pretty quick time. It makes you feel very connected to the other person.
It's interesting because I don't know if you've seen Jimpa, the new Sophie Hyde film. It opens up with the Olivia Colman character leading an acting group, and they're supposed to hang on to each other's hand and describe the hand. And one of the people says something like, "Oh, you've got a very nice hand, long fingers." And she interrupts and says, "We're not categorizing here. We're just describing." And then they lead into looking at each other's eyes, and then they have to talk about the eye, which is an absolutely compelling way of creating an intimacy, which is immediate.
Yeah, it's frighteningly intimate.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the film is fascinating, so you should go and see it because you'll enjoy it, I'll have to say. And it's that same sort of – I noticed that in your acting in this particular – in Displaced, you do have a strong sense of a centre. You know, you feel like you really are a person who's 14, who is, and in fact, in those first episodes, I'm thinking, you're such a rat bag. you need a slapping.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's right. It was fantastic.
I think I really, I committed to it on set as well, like not just on screen. I was
100%
bit of a rat bag with Jem on set. You know, we had a very fun relationship. You know, I'd constantly ask him, "Oh, like, did you actually hit someone over the head with a meter ruler? Like, did you actually travel back in time?" And mind you, I was very disappointed when he told me he didn't actually travel back through time. That was very upsetting.
I didn't need to. I'm already old. In case any listeners don't know that. The story really is me. So Paige, once she got the job, found out that she was essentially playing a teenage version of the person who wrote it, me, if I was a physicist and also a girl. I wondered if that was nerve-wracking, but Paige understood the assignment immediately and gave me plenty of bullshit every day on set.
Isn't that fun though, getting an assignment? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the whole joy of writing and creating into a 3D, because writing then creating into 3D is very exciting, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and I come from theatre, which is it's so collaborative from minute one, and I did a lot of acting and eventually directing and before I ever wrote. So I was always coming to it with the view that real people are going to be playing this, real people are going to be working together to create this. When you do hand a script over to actors, it is very nerve-wracking because you're really hoping that they get what you're going for and they embody that, but also bring something that you couldn't have expected. Did that happen with us.
It's very exciting. And also you've got the director.
That's
and
right, Molly Daniels.
Yeah, and you've also got the technical side of the production, which is a whole other kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yeah, 50 or 60 person-size crew, some of Melbourne's best screen artists. Incredible crew who, you know, with very limited resources managed to build the year 2000
They did a good job, didn't they?
It is fabulous. When we walked into that bedroom
yeah,
for the first time,
wasn't that clever?
It was time traveling. Yeah. You know, we time traveled back to the year 2000 when we stepped into that bedroom. It was just amazing. And that's Maddie Latimansky, the production designer.
Yeah, she did a great job. And the other thing that's fascinating is the characters that you've created. Like, the world you've created is one thing, and I love the setup. You didn't bother explaining anything. I loved the way the person just arrived.
Yeah.
I just thought, that's so cavalier.
Well, in the first draft, the whole first episode was Big Sarah trying to convince Little Sarah, no, I really am from the future. And then I realized that's boring. The story starts as soon as Little Sarah accepts the premise of what's happening and then rejects Big Sarah completely.
Yeah.
So this came from me taking stock of my life during COVID and realizing I hate my life and I hate my job and wishing I could go back and give my teenage self the perfect bit of advice that would like change my life. And then I realized teenage me would tell me to go jump in a creek. Teenage me would have no interest in my advice whatsoever. And so the story really begins as soon as Little Sarah's like, oh, you're from the future?
Tell
me everything. But also, you suck. Why would I listen to you? So we get that out of the way in the first 2 minutes of the show.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. Yeah. I just love that. I just love it. And like, there's 6 episodes.
Yeah, 6 10-minute episodes.
Yeah, actually, they're not all 10 minutes.
Yeah, roughly 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
They average out to 10.
Yeah, I'm a woman of pattern. I noted that.
That extra 3 minutes threw you off, didn't it?
No, I thought that's fascinating. That's interesting because, you know, it's the same with anything that you produce.
Yeah.
It's about 10 minutes. And for that, a level of clarity and also exposition to have achieved what you've achieved is really quite masterful.
Thank you. It was quite a lot of writing and rewriting, and I didn't write it alone. Molly Daniels, the director, also co-wrote it with me. She wrote two of the six. I wrote 4 of the 6. And she's an amazing writing partner. But a lot of iterating, a lot of figuring stuff out. But the characters themselves were always really easy to write because they were essentially me, the most kind of screwed up version of me at both ends. The sad sack, who'd been through a lot and who had a lot of trauma and regret and all of that stuff. And then the 14-year-old, very chaotic, I wish they would make better choices.
Oh,
yeah. Paige hinted at this, but there's a lot of chaos from Little Sarah in the show. Some of it's on screen and some of it's just discussed. and with each instance of that, Paige came to me and was like, did you really do this? And most of them, the answer was yes.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, just remind people that they're listening to 3CR, it's showreel, and our guests are Jem Splitter, writer, and Paige Joy Ryans, actor. And we're talking about a 6-part web series, but it's actually it's also on Channel 31 on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. because we've only had the first 2 episodes last night, so you are in a treat for the next 4 over the next 2 weeks, I presume. It's called
next 2 Wednesdays. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's called Displaced, and it's incredibly amusing, and the premise is great. But you've also tangled with a whole range of ideas, you know, around bisexuality, a person who is a person when they're 14 and what do they become, what makes them able to become that person, personal bravery, all those kind of things, an identity, of course. But ultimately, it's an incredibly human story. Is that how you felt about it, Paige?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting, you know, being able to play the guy who wrote it, but I think obviously I didn't know Jem before the audition, and so having to kind of analyze the script and really create that emotional depth of a character, it was very interesting. And being able to play, you know, even though I was 17 when I played the 14-year-old, so it was only going back a few years for me.
But they're big years.
Yeah, very, very big difference from 14-year-old me and 18-year-old me now. But I also, I think being in the bedroom, I think, really helped. You know, seeing all the like 2000s set, like seeing the DVD player, and you know, Tegan and Jem were telling me how to use it, and you know, the old Polaroid, like
the Animorphs books. That was my favorite. That was my favorite part of the set.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fun. And I also really enjoyed, you know, being able to bring in some of my own things onto the set. So some of the costume pieces were mine. Also some of the stuffed teddies I thought was really cute, because some of those were mine from when I was young. So I felt very connected to that as well.
So when you're, I mean, you're at the beginning of your acting career, and I know that you've done a great job in this particular series, but you also obviously made a bit of a splash in another series that's coming out on Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sure how much I can say about it.
Well, they talked, it was a teaser in the promotional material. So.
Oh, there was?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a lot of fun to be on. Yeah, it's coming out on Apple TV, which is very exciting.
Do you know when it's coming?
Must be soon.
Yeah, I think around the end of the year, I think.
And what's it called?
The Dispatcher.
The Dispatcher, yes. Yeah.
Paige really likes projects that start with dis.
I know. I know.
Anyway, it's one to look out for. And you actually won Best Supporting Actor for this particular project, didn't you?
For Displaced, yeah.
Yeah. And so that must have been fun.
Yeah, that was very exciting. I got to go up to Sydney, not knowing whether I was getting it. But, you know, the show was nominated for quite a few different awards as well, which was really exciting. So I was more in the mindset of, you know, if I don't get it, that's okay. I'm just excited to be there and to have been nominated for something. I thought that was very incredible.
Yeah, most people would find that interesting that you didn't get told. So it would have been the look on your face would have been genuine.
I was a bit in shock, I think. I was kind of like, is this real? Like, I sort of had to pinch myself a bit, because I was like, am I dreaming? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It was an awesome moment. Paige was our representative there. This was a film festival in Sydney, and because none of us could make it for whatever reason, but Paige was like, my mum's taking me. It's a done deal.
Paige got
to be there for us, and I'm so glad that it was Paige, because Paige got to be the winner. Who won. Yeah, as Paige said, we were up for four or five nominations.
Yeah.
And the one that we won was Paige's, but we also won one other thing, which the only reason I'm going to say this, because it's funny how I found out about it. I watched the live stream for all the bits of it that we were nominated for.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we didn't get three or four of them, and then we got Paige. And as far as I knew, that was the end. So I switched it off, and then Paige calls me to say congratulations, and I'm saying congratulations to her. And she's like, no, to you. Congratulations to you for winning the grand prize. And I was like, what are you talking about? After I switched off the live stream, we won the grand jury prize, which was not something I knew we were up for. So I would have loved to see that in a live stream, but at least Paige was there to tell us.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially as this is your first actual
it's my
production.
First release. Yeah.
Yeah, your first release. And people should realise that the whole world of web series is a really big world.
It's a new world, yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't exist 10 years ago. I mean, it did, but it
yeah, know, yeah, but not, it was, you know, it's like all of these things. People think they're not real, nobody will find you,
yeah,
that sort of stuff. That's a new difficulty, isn't it, being found?
Yeah, it is. It, being found amongst the noise, because, of course, now everyone can make stuff, which is great, but that means everyone's making stuff and not all of it's great, which has always been true. But,
always been true.
Yeah. But it's tricky. But if you make something good and you put some care behind it and you really do think about your audience, you know, you can't just make something that you think is good and send it out into the world. You do have to think about your audience.
Well, it's a very clever idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's I completely lost my train of thought.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
you complimented me and it filled my brain with happy chemicals.
Yeah. Anyway, it is great. And as I said, you can catch it in the old world on Channel 31 next Wednesday at 9 p.m. the next two episodes of Displaced, but it's going to also be...
It lives on YouTube permanently, so if you missed it on Channel 31, you missed the first two episodes, then you can catch up on YouTube, or if you missed the subsequent episodes, you can catch it on YouTube.
Thanks for coming in, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it was really good fun. You really should go out of your way. It's a really clever series.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up next is Published or Not.
On a narrow gauge, by a spider light, one candle burns below her man. Are you hammered and tired, Galena in hand, fuse too short to run fast in? Oh, barrow boys, with your candles too, a tallow way out to leave this realm. In a furnace blast, air hotter than hell, now a ruin of ash and shards. This seem no daydream, dream for some but not me. This seem no daydream, dream for some but not me. By the bullock trace, in the blistering sun, carry silver bullion, fortunes for Melbourne. Smelters up on the hill, now a ruin of hell, with your crucible tombs and tears so leaden, umber, umber car.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.